Kane again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah!
Get it!
Hello and welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. I'm Charles Commins, and with me to look back at the playoff first leg 2-1 defeat at Mansfield is my very good friend and fellow Cobblers fanatic, Danny Brothers. How are you, Danny? You okay, mate?
Hello. I'm all right, I think. I'm on edge, Charles.
Oh, on the edge of your seat?
On the edge of my seat.
Get a cushion behind you. Sit back, relax for an hour.
I can't. There's still 90 minutes of
torture.
Madness. And maybe more. You never know.
I'm
okay, I think.
That's good to hear.
I forgot how much the playoffs just draw you in emotionally. And I thought I was okay going into it. But then as soon as the teams come out, like, oh, shit, playoffs again.
Yeah, and it just, there was me thinking, oh, this will be easy. How wrong
was your 5-0 prediction?
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it? I'm the prediction king, you know that. All of our Patriots know that. Yeah. Ridiculous. Also joining us is a very special guest. You've already heard him on last week's episode of the preview show, and now it's my pleasure to welcome Craig Priest of Mansfield Matters to our flagship show. Yes. Welcome, Craig. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I feel on top of the world. It's like I've got a little promotion at work. It's great, this. I'm loving it. It's really great.
Hopefully it's the only promotion you're going to get, but you know.
To be honest, I'm sure we'll come on to this later, but I don't think you're far wrong. You were talking about being on the edge of your seat and feeling nervy. I think we're 2-1 up, and I feel more nervy than what you do. So, yeah, it's going to be a tense few days, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Charles, is this the first opposition fan to break the seal of the main show?
Kind of. I mean, when we first started, if you remember, we always used to have like a 10-minute section at the end.
Yes,
as the main pod, but that was always a pre-recorded thing. So I would ask the fans to sort of send me a voice note or something and just answer a few questions. So I think this is possibly the first time that, is it like the third wall has been broken through?
Yeah. It's something like that, yeah. Fourth wall.
Either way, I'm very grateful and honoured to join you guys tonight again. I had a real laugh last time and looking forward to it tonight. Whatever happens on the pitch, doing this with you guys over the couple of games that we've played each other this season has been a pleasure. So looking forward to it again.
Oh, mate, it's lovely to have you here. Look, before we start and before we get into it, as I said before, we've been making It's All Cobblers to Me now for nearly 4 years. And pretty much every episode has been recorded on Zencastr, who are this week's sponsors. Yes, we've got a sponsor. Look at that. Zencastr is an all-in-one podcast production suite that gives you studio quality audio and video if you want it. Good job we don't. Without needing all the technical know-how. It records each guest locally, then you upload the crystal clear audio and video right into the suite. So you've then got high quality raw materials to work with. And that's basically how I edit this show together every single week. If you want to go and try your hand at Zencastr, you can get a 30% discount off Zencastr Professional. Just go to zen.ai/ It's All Cobblers to Me. That's zen.ai/ It's All Cobblers to Me. And thanks again to Zencastr for sponsoring this episode and the next few that you hear as well. They're going to be there too. But that's enough of that. We've got important things to talk about. Obviously, on Saturday night, after the FA Cup final, which I thought was never going to end, by the way, talk about nail-biting, not for the reasons that Liverpool and Chelsea fans will have been doing it, but for the fact that I genuinely thought I'm not going to have time to either watch the end of that match, or I might miss the beginning of the Cobblers. That was never going to happen, in fairness.
But I've lost interest in extra time.
I'm not surprised, Danny, to be honest with you. It was dreadful. So it wasn't, thankfully, after the Lord Mayor's show. If anything, the playoff semi-final was better than the FA Cup final.
What's the Lord Mayor's show?
What
actually is involved in a Lord Mayor's show?
I imagine that Chessie would know.
It's true. Town crier, we think.
Isn't it something like maypoles and cake? Something like that? Is that it?
It's got to be.
That's me. I'm going.
You're going. All you need is a giant book festival to go alongside yeah. it, isn't it, Nanny?
It is. I imagine there's some sort of ceremonial cutting of a ribbon somewhere along the line.
Yeah, some mayor will be getting out of their office, won't they, and getting the one day's work a year done.
Yeah.
Popping on the chains.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. Making himself look all important, and really they're just working the local Asda, so.
Well, look, let's get into it. Danny, initial thoughts, 2-1 defeat, obviously, at Field Mill.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it now? What are your initial thoughts about that result?
Honestly, probably would have taken it before the game because I'm that nervous about it. I would have, like I said before the game, I'd take anything up to a 1-goal defeat because then you're taking it back to the second leg and really creating an atmosphere and having that atmosphere to look forward to where you're fighting for something. Like, the worst thing that could possibly happen is to lose 3 or 4 nil, which at some point during the night I thought it was going to all be over. And I know we've had big playoff comebacks in the past, but I honestly thought we were going to lose that and be drifted away and be out of sight and just not be able to come back. So for it to be 2-1, I'm okay with it. I know Neil's very pleased, as he said in our WhatsApp group. Incredibly pissed last night. Said, I am pleased. Every sort of half an hour or so, it'd come up. I think there's probably one about 2 a.m. as well. Lads, I'm pleased.
It really was.
After that first half, if you'd have given me 2-1, I would have bit your hand off, Charles.
God, yeah. I think I did bite my hand off at one point, I'll be honest, to stop the swearing.
it was just one of them where you just
could have got away with swearing. I couldn't swear. I was doing live commentary. You tried to be a Mansfield fan every time that second half, trying not to swear.
I don't know how you do it, I'll be honest. I really don't know.
It was even worse last night because obviously TalkSport have got commentary rights for the playoffs and I had Matt Murray sat next to me. You know what he's like. He's a huge, huge unit, isn't he? And I get quite animated when I'm commentating. I try and like head every ball, especially when something's on the line. So at one point, me and Matt Murray were nearly scrapping. So all in good fun, though, I have to say, all in good fun.
I like the thought of that. It's like, right, local Mansfield Radio takes on national sports coverage provider.
Well, they're using our line, so I could have at any point just ripped the cable out. But I would never do that. I'm not that type of person. But Matt Murray was one elbow away. I'm not going to lie, I'm only joking.
I'm pretty sure, you know, one of the producers at TalkSport is a Cobblers fan. I'm pretty sure of that. So he definitely listened, so he will have heard you.
It was all in good banter, though. To be fair, we had a right laugh at half time. It was brilliant. To be fair,
do you sit near the opposition commentators?
Just depends where you get put. In terms of like ISDN points and stuff like that, without being overly geeky, just depends on where ports are and what seats you get allocated. But yeah, it just so happened last night because they were sharing our port, they were sat next to us. So yeah, it was quite fun. But I said to them before the game, I went, I'm going to pre-warn you now. I get quite animated because I'm a Mansfield fan at heart. Obviously, I'm a broadcaster, but I'm a Mansfield fan at heart. So I'll pre-warn you. And at half-time, we're all laughing, saying, you weren't wrong, were you? I was like, nope. You wait till the second half. Let me know CPR because I'm telling you, you might need it.
Oh, dear. What about you then, Craig? What is your initial reaction to the overall result, that 2-1 victory for you guys? I mean, I imagine you were happier at half-time.
Yeah, I mean, I really am a big advocate of playoff games ending after 45 minutes. We don't need two legs. Let's just play half a game. Let's just do it there and then. No, I thought we were tremendous the first half. And in actual truth, we should have absolutely buried you and been out of sight. But in typical Mansfield fashion, we are nowhere near clinical enough. And this is what will cost us. I've said it time and time again. We're just not good enough when it comes to it. Two really well-worked goals lifted the roof off of One Call Stadium, which was great to see. But we had chance after chance after chance and we should have really, really put it out of sight. And then second half, you know, you guys got the reaction which you wanted. I'm sure your manager would have wanted as well. And, you know, we had a chance to let 2-0 where Maxted saved one from Reece Oates. I think if Oates puts that in the top corner and Maxted doesn't get a touch, I think it's game over. That sort of gave you a lift. And when you got the goal back, we were clinging on for our lives. You know, to credit John Joe O'Toole and Ollie Hawkins, they threw everything on the line. But yet again, we put in a few dodgy challenges. We were second to a lot of balls. We sort of didn't have the confidence we had in that first half. And in the end, we were very, very relieved to get to that full-time whistle with a 2-1 advantage. So it's all to play for in the second leg. And if I'm going to be honest, if there's any advantage, I actually think it's with you guys. Yes, we've got the one goal, which is going to be critical. But the way Mansfield are away from home, we've really got to approach this mentality-wise, actually. This might sound a bit stupid, but we've actually got to approach it like we're the ones that are a goal down. We've got to come out and fight, because I think it's there for you guys to take. So, yeah, be interesting to see how it unfolds. But overall, it was nice to get the two goals, but I just wish we'd have replicated that first half performance.
What about those goals? We were obviously watching on Sky. So we had the pleasure of Lee Hendry on co-coms.
Oh, yeah.
Use that word loosely.
Yep. certainly do. What did you... So the first goal, from a cobbler's perspective, there seems to be a little bit of controversy around was Oates offside or not. Now, the Sky commentary team just said it was tight. The guys in the studio, Keith Curl and God knows why he was there. Alan McLean.
I've not watched the footage back yet. Was Curl pundit? Was he?
Yeah,
he was, Curl was in pundit. The studio. Yeah.
Natural choice, isn't he? Ex-manager.
We were playing Keith Curl bingo on WhatsApp.
I need in. I need in if he's in the second leg. I need in for that.
But yeah, it was one of those where they just kept saying, "Oh, it's just tight." The thing that annoys me is that Sky Sports, if that was a Premier League match or, you know, an England international or whatever, they'd have analysed that. They'd have put a line on the bloody pitch. They'd have done loads of stuff, not necessarily in-game, but at half-time and full-time. They'd have done it. And instead, all they did was just go, well, that's a bit tight.
Yeah, it's because they know they can't, isn't it? For this, like,
but, I mean, you don't need to have VAR to put... Just get your production team to draw a line on the flaming pitch.
Get your ruler out.
Get your ruler out, draw it along the pitch there, and prove that he's at least a yard offside.
I didn't think it was that obvious.
No, it wasn't.
To be fair, it was tight. But I'm not liking how much the players have come out after the game and been like, oh, we've been discussing this in the dressing room. Like, everyone's in uproar, up in arms, because they said it was offside. I think just get over it, because it's one of them. In the league, probably no one bats an eyelid, because we don't get the benefit of watching it on Sky. If you're in the ground that night and it's not on TV, it probably doesn't get mentioned again. I think we just got to get on with it, because it's one of them tight decisions that's going to go either way. So,
yeah,
and I thought Koiku was a bit at fault as well, probably for both goals, actually.
Ooh. Ooh.
Both fullbacks in the first half concerned me a lot, and Koiku's defense, I was absolutely raging at Koiku all of the first half, and then he did what he did second half.
Yeah.
And I was like, I told you he was told you he could do the business. Never in doubt.
It's one of those. Do you feel like maybe Brady's shoehorning Mills in on the basis that because Magaza's not fit, obviously, and that's why he's not played at right back, why not go with Harriman? I mean, Harriman's a natural right-footed defender. Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is delivery, and because we rely on a lot in terms of balls into the box, getting onto his left
Mills'
foot,
delivery is not especially not from the right.
Yeah, I mean, once he gets his on his left foot and swings one in, that's probably what he's thinking. That's all I can think of, because positionally, he looks awkward, doesn't he, on the right-hand side. And I don't feel comfortable about it at all. And it didn't make it any better that Epi was out as well, or on the bench, because Kanu wasn't up to standard either.
No.
And I don't think he has been for his entire time here. I think it's whatever it is, fitness or whatever, he just doesn't, he's not the option there.
I want to be a little bit kinder to him. I know that there are several people listening right now who will just be going, no, send him back, get rid of him, don't want to see him in a cobbler shirt ever again. I appreciate that. However, the one thing that I will say is that he basically managed to play, well, he started one match before this one, and in that match that was his last, because he played with a broken jaw during that match.
Yeah.
And then he's had 8 weeks out. He's had no time to really settle into this team, and it doesn't really matter. I don't buy into this team. I know you can train and you can train and you can train and you can train, but there is nothing like playing actual matches to get your eye in and to get a feel for how this team actually operates and how all your teammates work during a match situation. And I think it just shows that he's not had that time to essentially gel with the rest of the team. And the fact is, I don't really think he is a right winger. I was quite surprised.
No, I don't really know what he is, though.
No, well, I thought he was more of a number 10. So yeah. I was a bit... When the team was announced, I was expecting Kanu in the number 10 role with Pinnock and Hoskins on either wing. But for some reason, well, I say for some reason, we know why, he kept Pinnock in that sort of, you know, drift wherever he wants to go. He can
he's grown into that role, I think, as well, Pinnock. And I just think, and we probably, we haven't got really anybody else who can play there for Kanu's position if Epi is out, have we? So it's probably the only option he had at that point.
Yeah.
The other thing I would suggest maybe is putting Hoskins there, put Koike up, put Mills across the other side, and then put Neil in right back. So, but that's a lot of shuffling to do.
And maybe, maybe that is actually all it is. Maybe it's a simple case of...
He's just trying to get... And Mills has played there for the last few games as well, hasn't he, since Asamoah has been out. So it's... And it's... You just tell he's not defensively okay on that side, and I think Mansfield exploited it a lot. It worried me. It made me nervous the entire time.
Were you happy, Craig, when you saw that Epia was out?
I didn't think it made much difference, to be honest. I think the way Mansfield sort of line up, we always have that thing at home. It doesn't matter what 11 you put out in front of us. He's an absolute handful. Of course he is. But on home soil, it doesn't make too much difference. I think I'd have been much happier on Wednesday if he's not in the team. Put it that way, because like I say, we're a different animal away from home than at home. So he was a handful, and when he came on, I thought he was a handful anyway. So I was very surprised he didn't start. And like you said, talking about Mills there, I've always watched him as a centre half and stuff. I was very surprised when I saw him on the right hand side as well. And I think you're right; we exploited it, but not enough.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, because the one thing that I will say is that your front two were fantastic in that first half. And I felt like Bowery bullied us. And it was just so quick from you guys.
Sorry, Craig, I know you're going to jump in. It was so clinical in terms of the movement. Like, it wasn't necessarily pile on, like, all over us kind of thing. But when Mansfield got the ball, it was so clinical and so, like, you knew exactly what you were doing. And it was power into the front, like, power through, get your movement going. And it really, I thought, that's when I thought we were going to lose 3 or 4 nil, because it just looked like you're so switched on, especially with Oates. I think he's a quality player. And him getting in behind just worried us the entire time. Anybody who runs in behind us, we don't deal very well with, and I just thought it was going to be one of them that just went out of sight, because it felt like you were just so switched on. I think you just lost that momentum second half.
Yeah, 100% we did. We didn't react to you guys reacting. The first half, though, like you say, about Reece Oates and Jordan Bowery, we've tried a number of, you know, different front pairings, and you look back at our fixtures and our results, and it's not a coincidence that when we started to dip a few times in a few games a couple of months ago, Reece Oates wasn't in the lineup because he was out injured. He had a knock for a long time, and it really did knock us. He's the only player we've got that's in double figures, and that's not good enough if you're a top 17 for me. You need at least two players that are contributing with at least, you know, 10 or 12 each. He is a lightning player, though. He's very, very quick, and that's one of the best games that I've seen Reece Oates have for us. He scored a lot of goals for us, doesn't score tap-ins at all. He's not a fox in the box, but he's very, very lightning quick. He'll turn players on a sixpence on the halfway line. He'll drive forward. One of the best goals I've seen him score this season was at home against Colchester, where he pretty much picked the ball up on the edge of his own box, ran the length of the pitch, and then killed it in from the edge of the box. Lightning player and scares defenders ragged, but a lot of that comes from Jordan Bowery. And he is one who, you know, there's always a player, isn't there, in a team who gets the abuse from the fans. And Jordan Bowery, when he first signed for us last season, was that player. Oh, he's useless. He doesn't score enough goals. He doesn't do enough. His work rate's rubbish and all this. Well, he'll pull players out. He'll go and he'll drop deep to collect. He'll hold the ball up. He'll knock little balls into Quinny down the left and get Murphy involved. He'll spread down the right-hand side. He'll stretch the game. But also in the last 3 or 4 games as well, he's got into some really good areas. And actually, the second goal we scored, his goal typified the way he plays. The little bit of movement he has just to drop off at the far post, take defenders away from him and just put the ball into the back of the net was beautiful for us. But he's a real handful. The big thing for me will be whether we can do it away from home, because we don't play the same way we do. That electric sort of passing movement we have at home, like we showed in the first half, down that left-hand side is a real, real, you know, key part of how we play. But having watched us on that first game, your manager and your coaching staff will be well aware of that, and they'll look to try and combat that if they can. And we don't really have another way we can play. So, yeah, if we get closed off down that left-hand side, it'll be very, very difficult. All I'd say is if Reece Oates gets the ball on the edge of his own penalty area, I'd still be worried, because if he gets into a bit of space, how he didn't score that third, second half, beyond me. But there you go.
I think, because one of the things that was worrying for me was how high we were playing, Danny.
Yeah.
It was to be away from home and doing that, it petrified me. To make it worse, I don't think we learnt from the mistake, because I think it was, you know, I understand why we're doing it. We're trying to put pressure on the opposition as high up the pitch as we can do. But when you've got somebody like Oates, who is lightning quick and good with the ball at his feet as well, it's just, it's asking for trouble. And that's, and I know we've got Koike, who is extremely quick, but you cannot rely on that, on recovery constantly, time after time after time.
Yeah, and that might be another reason why we played Mills there, because he's at least got a little bit of pace, rather than Harriman probably hasn't got the pace to keep up with him.
Poor Michael Harriman.
Get him in there. I don't know what the latest is with Azamagaza. Is he definitely out second leg?
I don't think he's definitely out, no. No. There's potential. But
even if we just have him, if we have Epia back in front of him, because Epi can hold onto the ball as well. I think that's one of the part of the problem that Kanu had, is that he wasn't holding onto the ball as much as Epia can. And Epia can hold off players and pick a pass, and at least not invite the pressure on like we were doing that down that side. So if we've got that, if we've got Epia there, and if we've got Magaza back, and if we've got Roberts in goal, then, I mean, by the way, I don't think little Johnny Max did himself any harm. I don't think he was terrible.
Did you guys know about his previous Mansfield record?
No, go on.
So the last time that Johnny Maxted played against the Stags at Wancourt Stadium, he was for Accrington Stanley, and he conceded six.
Oh, there you go.
Doing so we were quite confident when Liam Roberts got sent off, but we're not now. So I remember listening to the highlights of the game before from the game in the league, and again, another one where we should have absolutely buried you, but again, Roberts had a storming game, so you guys will be buzzing to get him back, won't you? You'll be absolutely buzzing. Poor Johnny Maxted.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I thought he did all right. I don't think he was like world beaten. And the first one, we would have been annoyed at the first one, I think, beating him through his legs.
Yeah.
But in general, I don't think he was terrible.
No. And I go back to that thing of like, he's been thrown in, he's had to come in, and I think he did a good job on that basis. I think if he got a run in the side, I think he would improve. And you know,
he's just competent, and he's a competent keeper. And but the problem is that we've had Roberts all season, who's been amazing. So
exactly,
it's,
and there's your issue as well. When you play a keeper every single game, the back four becomes settled, and it's very difficult when you play in an environment like that, away from home, where the pressure's on. You know, there's a lot riding on the game for a different keeper to come in and get settled early doors. And then when you get a team like we did, who come out on the front foot, it's hard to settle. Had it been like a 0-0 at half time, I think you'd have seen a better performance from him, because he'd have been settled into the game, but he had no time to. And you've got to credit us for that, really, because we didn't, I think that was the instruction, get out and put him and the defence under pressure, because, you know, there's an element of trust there when you have a goalkeeper over a long amount of time. And, you know, that's why you guys have done so well. Best defence in the league, aren't you, with only 38 conceded. Mm-hmm. Is it 20, 21 clean sheets?
Yeah, 21. All Roberts, obviously. Mm. But, yeah, I this is the thing, is that recently we have given away goals. When was our last clean sheet? Would that have been...
clean sheet. Oh, we had dinner at Orient, Exeter, Barrow, did we?
No.
It was the one before that, I think.
Yeah, so it's been a few games. So, I mean, out of that, the one thing that I would say is that we're due one. So maybe.
Well,
if you get one on Wednesday, and as long as we get one, I'm happy. So, you know, it's fine. So you can have one, as long as we can have one as well, yeah?
I've started to get a lot more confident in us scoring goals now, though, the last few weeks, at least. I can see us scoring goals in every game now. Whereas you say that after the game we played against Mansfield in the past, in the 6 weeks ago, six games ago.
We didn't look like scoring.
We didn't look like scoring at all. No. I feel like we've got a goal or two in us now. I'm a lot more confident about that side of things now. We just got to make sure we concentrate at the other end.
And speaking of goals, it's a shame, really. That
where's Jeffy? We need him.
Yeah. Ali Koike gets his first Cobblers goal. And I've literally written here, Jeffy was right.
Well, what was she right about?
Just the fact that he would score an important goal in probably the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or right at the end of the season to send us up. So, I mean, I think it's about time he scored, really, let's be honest. He's had a few attempts. And I know that there's a deflection. I know that if the deflection doesn't happen, I think the keeper saves it fairly comfortably. But there was a deflection and it went in. So, hurrah.
They all count.
Exactly. They all count. Nobody will see at the end of the season that there was a deflection. It will just say, goal, Koike. And that's what we like to see. I did think that, like you said, Danny, I don't think he had the best of games in the first half.
No, he always worries me defensively, Koike. And that's why
he relies on his pace.
He does, and that's good. That's a good thing because he gets us back and he gets the recoveries in. But and he's a threat at the other end, so it's that payoff, isn't it? Of you, it's good going forward, but questionable positionally wise. I think is always been a bit questionable. And the second goal again, I think he's just been caught out. He looks at the man Bowery, and then just lets him go.
Yeah, he didn't seem to know he was there, despite having looked. It was almost maybe he looked and saw straight through him. And didn't realise he was actually there.
I think maybe the save must have pushed the ball out a little bit. Can I just read Jeffy's reaction to you, Charles?
Of course.
Just as a reminder on our WhatsApp group. Mm. So, Craig, Jeffy is our co-host. She is in love with Koike, or Koike, as Sky seems to like to call him.
Just call his name right, for goodness sake.
There's literally an I in there. Anyway, so Jeffy's reaction. This was at 9:03 yesterday. Koike. Oh no, that was you, Charles. And then Jeffy, the king. All the English in capital letters. Cometh the hour, cometh the king.
Brilliant.
She's enjoyed it.
I think she enjoyed it. I mean, the only thing that was missing from all of that, very well read, Danny.
Thanks.
The only thing was that was missing was, Neil Poir. Definitely sounds like, hello, Turin, this is Moscow calling. Oh, no, we're not there. Oops.
Who was it who said afterwards, was it with the Mansfield players who said in the Sky interview, oh, it's good to get over London and get the 3 points, and he corrected himself.
Oh, yes. But yeah, he did, after,
he's like, it's good to get the 3 points.
Who did the interview for that? Was it Oates?
I can't remember who it was. It might have been Oates.
We got Hawkins for normal press, so yeah, it would have been Oates. But oh, bless him. So this is what happens. You know, when you run lightning quick and you everything's a blur. So it's, he won't be the first, he won't be the last. Because to be fair, I'm going to hold my hands up now. I said it in commentary as well.
I want to while we're on the point of the interviews, Nigel Clough wasn't very happy. I mean, I'm not sure he ever is, I'll be honest. I know that I caused a bit of controversy with you, Danny, because I quite like him. Whereas you're not a fan.
Not a fan. I feel like he moans a lot. I mean, John Brady moans a lot as well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's our manager. So.
Fair enough. I wanted, because obviously, I take it you spoke to Cluffy after the game, did you, Craig? What was his reaction? I know he wasn't very happy with the referee, but then again, none of us were, I don't think.
Yeah, that's for Cluffy and for me. That's a conversation we have every bloody week. So it's no different. But yeah, he was a little bit disappointed with that. He was very disappointed with the way we defended in the second half, and rightly so, because again, like we've said earlier, we should have been out of sight by half time. And you know, if we come out and we even replicate that in the first 10 minutes and get another goal, it's probably a different tie completely in the second leg. But he's always like that, nicely. He's very methodical. He thinks it'll be a different story when we speak to him at the press conference before the second leg. Looking forward to that. He always sort of have time to think. He always does his press very quickly after the game as well, which I think sometimes is it can go one or two ways. There's certainly been times where it doesn't hold back. Even I've interviewed him after, in fact, after games where we've won and played really, really well. But he picks up on the negatives and he will emphasise those points. He's very much like his dad in terms of there's that perfectionist there. There's always that strive to be one or two better than what you actually are. And I quite like that in some terms. I can see why some people don't like the way he constantly criticises referees and things like that. But he always does it with a smirk and always does it with a smile. And he always backs it up with facts, to be fair. I wasn't at this particular press conference, but there was one a few weeks ago. I think it was after the Carlisle game. We'd had a horrendous Easter weekend. We'd lost to Sutton. The home record had gone. Then we'd gone up to Carlisle and ended up drawing there. I think we lost there. And we had a clear goal not given. But again, we should have been three or four goals up. That's irrelevant anyway. But he comes out after the game in the press conference after. And before he even answers any questions, he sits down with the press, from what I'm told from my colleagues at the radio, and presents this dossier of moments of where the officials have been wrong and backs it with evidence. So he's not just the sort of manager like some we could mention who aren't employed anymore by certain clubs sort of in the, you know, airport area, if we get where I'm crawling to. He does back it up with methodical evidence, so it's quite interesting. But after the game, he was, A, relieved to get through with some form of advantage, and he wanted to emphasise that point, but B, very cautious of going into a second leg where he knows everything will be on the line. And like we've said a number of times, had we been sort of speaking after a one game where it would have been a win and it would have been 3 points on the board, it'd have been completely different. But it's only half time in the tie. So I think that's where sort of Clough's coming from with his comments. And I think your manager will probably be the same. I have to admit, I've not had a chance to watch the footage back on Sky yet, so I've not seen his interview. It will be something I do before the second leg. But I imagine, you know, he'll take tremendous heart from the way you guys performed in the second half as well. So it's all to play for.
It certainly is. I quite enjoyed that Nigel Clough was asked about the referee, and the answer that he gave was, well, it's no different to what we've had all season. That was his answer, which is absolutely, it's a great answer. Absolutely brilliant answer, because essentially everybody watching will have seen that the referee wasn't very good. And we've not even talked about the couple of penalty decisions that weren't given at both ends. There were decisions, and I think he was as bad for you as he was for us. So I'm not suggesting that he was one-sided necessarily, but you know, there were times when you sort of looked at things. Fraser Horsfall getting pulled down in the box and then getting the free kick given the other way, and I just sort of, I'm looking at it and going, I can't understand how a decision has been made that way round. I know that
it's the easier decision to make.
Yeah,
it?
But surely the easier decision is just to not give anything.
Oh. The refereeing standard at League Two is shambolic. It absolutely isn't.
Yeah,
Clough, it's the same for both teams. You know, you said a couple of instances there. I happen to agree with them, but also there's a couple of instances for us, you know, where we're not getting free kicks, where we're getting yellow cards and things like that. But it's one of those, isn't it? Across the board, across this season, like Clough said in his press a number of times, so many incidences about referees where they're getting decisions wrong. And then he starts talking about the top level. And he's got a point in what he says. There's obviously VAR and stuff at the very top level, but how do you get this? There's still people who are behind the VAR who are getting decisions wrong. And the reason they're getting the decisions wrong is they don't know what they're looking for. And that's a huge, huge problem all across referees. I've got tremendous respect for referees at grassroots level, because they'll take tremendous amount of dog's abuse. But it's interesting, isn't it? You know, when you think about pathways out of football once a player is retired from playing, not one goes into refereeing. Not one. And that says a lot about it, doesn't it? Because it's such a horrendous place to be, and it's such a weight of responsibility. But you've got referees who don't know what they're looking for, or thinking in the moment, and they give him one thing for one side, but then an incident happens 30 seconds late, which is exactly the same, but it's given in another way. It's so difficult. And I think whoever takes the whistle, I've not seen the appointment for Wednesday yet, whoever takes the whistle is going to have
Bobby,
to be a bit of
Bobby
strong.
Madley.
Bobby Madley, yeah.
Is it? Okay. I need to have a look. Yeah.
I think you had him on the last day, didn't you?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did have him on the final day of the season.
I was quite. I'm picturing a folder with like stuck on pictures of Uriah Rennie.
And love hearts around and everything.
Mike Dean on it.
No. There's just a little stat.
Usual
amount of stats website in the bookmarks bar for pre-game prep. Although, like I said to Charles before, I don't do any prep for our podcast. So the prep I do for actual radio commentary is very little as well. So, in fact, I think the Northampton game on Saturday was the most amount of prep I've done. First time ever I've actually looked into referee stats and what we've had. So I was actually quietly confident because, of course, Anthony Backhouse has got a history in Mansfield Northampton, hasn't he, of course? So out of the three games we had him this season, we'd won all three at home. So, I need to have a look at Mr. Madley's stats, but it doesn't matter, does it, really? So all in jest, all in fun.
Exactly. Right. Well, look, there you go. Time for a short break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at Wednesday's second leg of the playoffs. Oh, exciting. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. This week, Danny and I are joined by Craig Priest of Mansfield Matters. So obviously, Mansfield take a one goal advantage into the second leg. Danny, how are you feeling about it?
Pleased, Charles.
Ooh.
Just like Neil.
Neil.
I'm okay. I'm okay because the job is basically the same, isn't it? Yeah, if we'd have drawn the game, the job is still to go and win the game in 90 minutes. If we do that, we take it to extra time. Anything happens after that. So I think, as in mentality-wise, I'm really happy that we've got a situation now on Wednesday where we can pack six fields. It's going to be buzzing from the start. It's going to be one of those nights under the lights that hopefully we won't forget in a long time, because it's going to be one where the fans are going to be up for it from the start. I think probably the most recent example is probably the Derby game in the Cup, mm-hmm. where everyone's just so up for it on a night game. I think if we score first, then momentum switches completely to us. I think 2-1 is not too bad a result, considering we were 2-0 down and considering we've got Mansfield now could be a bit tricky in terms of how they approach it. Do they come and try and defend it? Do they come and try and like potentially leave himself exposed? I think John Brady will be in a reasonably happy place. Hopefully we'll have some players back as well. Hope we'll obviously have Roberts back. Mm-hmm. If we can get Azamagaza back, that'd be a massive, massive bonus, I think.
And Epi being fit back. Enough to play the full 90.
Exactly.
I
think at the moment we've got to just put him on, and just it's a risk, but I think we've got to.
It's a risk worth taking, sure.
It's worth taking. It's potentially the last game, and if it gets to Wembley and he can't make it because of it, then you'd have to say so be it, because it's all about getting there now.
Yeah. I mean, there's a 10 or 11 day break between the second leg and the
break,
final.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it was a case of, you know, you've got a long time to, you know, get him back.
To
being fit, if that was the case. So, I'd take the risk. I mean, I was thinking that I'm far happier now going into this game than I was at halftime on Saturday night, obviously.
Totally.
I do feel like the momentum did switch.
And that's the one thing, isn't it? Is that are we going to look back maybe and think, should we have scored while we were on top in that first leg?
There were chances, weren't there? I mean, Mills is
John
Jay
nearly scored an own goal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but I mean, Millsy not hitting the target with that header at the back post.
Yeah,
that's frustrating.
Completely the wrong person in the wrong place.
Yeah, things like that. But we were on top, and you know, as much as Mansfield could have blown us away in the first half and put it out of sight, in the second half, I feel like we should have definitely have really gone and got an equaliser. I think the issue was, and we didn't mention it in the first half, but the issue was, I think, Apare going off with that injury.
Yeah, and that's another worry, isn't it? Because he's, I mean, throw all the Danny Rose things in they want about it being Mansfield, but it's not Appare, is he?
And no.
I thought Appare was superb again in the build-up to the goal again. Mm-hmm. I thought he put himself about so much. He tried to make things happen. He makes it stick. And he needs to be fit for the second leg because I don't know what we'd do up there with. We can't have 90 minutes of Danny Rose, unfortunately.
I don't know whether he'd play Danny Rose. I wonder whether he'd start with either somebody else entirely, maybe Zimba. Or maybe he goes to a front three of Hoskins, Epia, and Pinnock.
Possibly.
It's. Yeah. Decisions, isn't it, really? I mean, it is one of those.
What I'm hoping is a precaution because he knew we've obviously got the second leg a few days later. I'm hoping it's just it's a knock. If that's the last game of the season, for example, he probably stays on.
Yeah. Hopefully. He was sat on the bench with what looked to be a
bag of peas.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it may well have been, in fairness. I didn't get the greatest look, but it looked like he was wearing one of those sort of knee protector, like compression things. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like a tubey grip, but
a fancy bandage.
A fancy bandage, yeah.
Just play that.
Yeah, he was wearing a fancy bandage. There you go, done. But he was sat on the bench quite happily. He didn't look annoyed and dejected or anything like that, as if it was season over and I'm really annoyed or anything like that. So. Positive there, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully having fit. If we can go out with a fully fit, it's probably unlikely, but if we can go out with a fully fit side, then I'll be confident. We've got to get it rocking. I think it will be. I think it's going to be one of those that people are going to be up for it beforehand. If it's a two goal, then I think it would still be up. People will still be up for it because of the past experiences. But I think even more so now that we've come back from two down to get one. And actually, like saying that, the character has been in question a lot this season. About we had that ridiculous stat in the first half of how many, like, not coming from behind to win ever this season.
Oh,
I think it was at 12 games we've gone behind in and lost 10, drew two. So the character's been in question a lot. We've questioned it a lot, but they've come back and they've put in a hell of a. They've been actually quite brave, I think, second half to go for it and to actually try and get back in the game. And I think. Speaking of the fans as well, the away fans were superb. The best I've heard of them. Like the Orient, they were a couple of weeks ago. At Barrow, they were.
Thank you.
But yeah, on Saturday, I thought they were brilliant. At 2-0 down, usually our fans would be like, oh, for goodness sakes. But I thought they were superb on Saturday, and I think that helped.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that we know that it was only a quarter of the way through the tie, I think that's partly it. I think that as much as normally if we were 2-0 down at half time, I do think we'd be pretty dejected. We certainly wouldn't be as loud and as, you know, supportive, let's say, as they were on Saturday night, which was great. A word for the Mansfield fans though, because I mean it takes two to create an atmosphere. And I thought, obviously helped by the fact that you'd gone 2-0 up relatively quickly and with ease. But Phil Mill was rocking, wasn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it has been all season, to be fair. You know what? I've spoken about this quite a few times on our podcast. It's post-pandemic. It's the first season post-pandemic, and our fans in particular have really brought into that. We really, really missed it last year, not being able to go, having to, you know, watch it on the one camera view on iFollow. And this season, fans are flocked in. And even from the very first game, have been supportive and made as much noise as possible. And over the course of the campaign, the attendances have gone up, up and up. And especially at home, one of the biggest crowds that we've had. We've broken records left, right and centre. And it's been the same on the road as well. We've got a fantastic young lad who's the drummer for the club, who really gets the atmosphere going up in Q Block, really drives that. He's got energy and enthusiasm to burn. All the lads in there are, you know, really big for getting the atmosphere going. And one thing which we've seen this year is even when we've gone behind in a game or when we've conceded and not been at our best, the fans have consistently been there and creating atmosphere. They haven't really dipped too much, whereas in previous seasons, they'd let things like that affect them and teams would exploit that. And I think it'll be the same on Wednesday. We've sold out our allocation. We sold it out within a day, which was brilliant. People are going to be flocking there. There won't be a single seat in the house. And I think, you know, mixed with the home fans again, your fans were great on Saturday. It made for some real good atmosphere. It'll be a tremendous electric atmosphere, whatever happens. And I think both sets of fans can be proud of the display which the teams have put on throughout this season to reward them, but also the way in which they've all come together to get behind the cause, because every single player and coach and manager that I talk to says, and they're absolutely spot on, that a positive atmosphere does, you know, breathe into the dressing room and have its effect. So you can certainly see it, and that's why the game was bouncing on Saturday, and no doubt it will be again on Wednesday.
Yeah. Obviously, we talked, Danny, about potential of, well, we're pretty certain that Liam Roberts will be back in goal for us. There's the potential of Aaron McGowan coming back in, potentially Epi is starting, hopefully Apare hopefully being fit to start as well. What about Mansfield, Craig? Would you expect to see any changes to the team selection for the second leg?
Expect it, no. Want it, yes. I think you were talking earlier, weren't you, about taking your players off with a little bit of precaution. Same with us with Stephen Quinn. We took him off, you know, midway through the second half, very much, I think, with the second leg in mind. Nigel Clough will deny that, but I don't think he will have a case to. I think he definitely took him off with that in mind. Stephen McLaughlin, the left-back who scooped pretty much every single award going at the Club Awards this week, seemed to be struggling in the second half as well a little bit. So he's had a few injury knocks. Be interesting to see how those two come out of it. Reece Oates has just come back for injury, although he looked the best he had done on Saturday in a long time. So that'll be interesting to see. But also, if Stephen Quinn isn't fit to start, that will worry me tremendously, because there is a phrase which goes with Mansfield. I haven't got the exact stat to hand, but there's a phrase which goes with us, and that is no Quinn, no win. I think we've only won two games without him, which says a lot. He's a real influential player for us. He'll be the only doubt, I think, fitness-wise. McLaughlin maybe, but I think he'll just play through it. Would I make changes? I would. I mean, I'm a big fan of James Pirch. He's had a real difficult season mentally. Obviously, he looked at one point like his career was going to be over with the fractured skull, which he got innocuously in training. Done superbly well to come back and now plays with that protective headband. Obviously got booked in the build-up to the goal, didn't he, on Saturday, where he sort of overcommitted a little bit, shall we say, in the opponent's half, way out of position.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Got a little bit over-enthusiastic for his boyhood club. Let's just go with that. And yeah, I think he struggled a little bit. And I think in the second leg, especially, we need to just shore things up a little bit. I quite like him at centre-half. And I thought Ollie Hawkins had a decent game for us, actually, on Saturday. But prior to the final two games of the season, prior to the Salford game, we'd played Jonjo and Percy at centre-half with Hewitt at right-back and Macker at left-back. Two clean sheets, and it was the best defence I've seen all season. Two calm players at the heart of it, and a strong, solid player down the right-hand side who can get forward, who's also got a long throw in his locker. I'd personally like to see us go to that back four and utilise Hawkins either on the bench or utilise him up front as another outlet, because you're going to throw everything at us, because, you know, you've got to. You are a goal behind, even though my personal feelings are, it feels like we are going into it. You'll throw everything at us. We need to deal with that at the back, but also we need to have a good outlet at the top. I think you'll try and bully Bowery a little bit more and potentially figure out a way to mark it out of the game. So I think by throwing Hawkins up there and going a little bit more physical, it will give a different dynamic to you. So I think this is probably the biggest team selection for both managers to come. If you've got all your players fit, I think I'll be a little bit more worried. As long as Stephen Quinn's on the team sheet for us, though, I'm a little bit more confident than what I would be, because no Quinn, no win is definitely a thing, and I don't want it to be a thing on Wednesday night.
Okay. I think that is going to... I think it's set it up nicely, that. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I just feel like... the nerves are there, Danny, obviously.
They are.
But I'm excited for it.
I don't, me too.
You know, sometimes you can go into the playoffs or any kind of, like the Barrow game, for example, last day of the season. I was the same. I was excited for it as much as I was nervous. And I just think this could be some game of football on Wednesday night that we're about to watch.
Yeah. How many times have we sat there having finished 14th, 15th, 16th, looking at the playoffs and then being on TV and thinking, oh, I wish that was us playing in it. Kind of thing. Like you want to live for these big moments. That's what you want to live for, these big games, because it doesn't come around that often that we're actually successful and we're putting ourselves in a position to win these playoffs and to have these big nights. Like, this is what you want. This is, you want this kind of pressure. You want these nerves. And you want this excitement. You want this moment on TV when you're in front of the world and you've got the pressures on you, and people are messaging you all the time. Who wouldn't usually message you about the Cobblers, saying, "Oh, you're in this, blah blah blah." You want to be in the spotlight as a football fan. You want these big occasions. And as nervous as it will be on Wednesday, it will still be something to get excited for. I'm excited to just be a part of that atmosphere. I think it's going to be fun up until 7:45 when the ball's kicked, and then
yeah, I'm going to be
absolutely screaming
for the full time whistle as soon as he starts the game, like I was.
Yeah, no, that's it.
That'll do, ref. That'll do, ref. Come on, that'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, cracking! Right. Well, look, and we've still got a bit of time left here, but I'm going to go to predictions now, because I just think that, I mean, first of all, whatever I say, we know isn't going to happen, right? So
so if you say Northampton win, I'll pay you 20 quid, yeah?
20 quid?
Well, you're saying,
put another,
you know,
couple of zeros on, mate.
What, my wages, mate? Not a chance. How about 20 quid in the mug?
Now I'm anyone's for a mug. That's me. I genuinely think that this is going to be so tight. I think we'll win the 90 minutes 1-0, and I think I can see it going all the way. So
it's going to be tight, isn't it?
It's going to be that tight. So I'm not going to go any further than that. I think we'll win the 90 minutes 1-0, which will be obviously 2-2 in aggregate. And then it's extra time, and anything at all can happen in extra time. Aliens could land. Honestly, anything could happen. Danny, have you got a prediction? Obviously, we haven't done this, have we? I did write it earlier on in the running order, but I didn't say it. Wednesday, Sixfields, 7:45.
I don't want to, Charles.
I said that the other day. You made me payback.
I don't. I've got to predict us to. I've got to go for. I've got to think we're going to do it. I think 2-0. I think we're going to score early, get them rattled, and then there's going to be a booking, Charles.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. There's going to be a booking for Samuel Tobias Hoskins in the middle of the park.
Ooh.
We're going to take the free kick. He's going to foul someone else. He should be booked again, but the referee, Bobby Madley, says, "Nah, I don't want to book him."
That one surprised me. It's League Two.
Sam Hoskins is going to score the second goal.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that actually stopped us getting third in the second game from the end against Salford, because their lad Matty Lund should have been sent off. So it's happened before to Mansfield. So that's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Not nice, is it?
No, it's not. It's horrible.
It's not nice. Tom Curtis. Anyway, Sam Hoskins with the winning goal.
Colin Larkin with that fifth penalty. There we go.
Colin Larkin got a mention 2 podcasts in a row. And
what is going on? We need to get him on now.
Crikey. Yeah, we'll have to get him on.
2-0, Charles.
2-0. Craig, come on then. What's your prediction? I know you're biting your nails already.
Yeah.
What are you going to say for it, though?
I think you guys aren't too far wrong. I mean, obviously, I'm going to back Mansfield to get through to Wembley. I have to, because Mansfield matters. Of course it does. Get the branding. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think if you guys score first, we're going to struggle. We really do suffer when we don't, when we concede first. We really do struggle to get back in the game. I think it's going to be a nervy 1-1 draw. I think you guys will score first. It'll be heading towards extra time. There'll be a corner. It'll be swung in. Nathan Bishop will think about running upfield. Then Clough will shout like so loud, obscene words at him that the Sky Sports commentators and every commentator on the ground will have to apologise for bad language. Then it'll come for Jonjo O'Toole. It'll fall from half a yard from goal. It'll hit his boot. It'll go in. And it'll sprint down the other end of the pitch to the Mansfield fans, top off, whipping it round his head. And there'll be a T-shirt underneath which says, "I never liked caravans."
Oh,
wow.
No.
If we want any more motivation for that for Wednesday.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to be honest. I think you should probably edit that out. And what you should do is you should put this prediction in, because I was absolutely spot on Saturday. There'll be 11 players on both sides. I'll just go with that. I was right on Saturday. I'll just go with that.
Brilliant.
There's something in the mailbag, Charles, if you want.
Is there?
The postbag.
Is there? You want to go to the postbag?
Little letter in the last minute, it looks like.
Oh, okay. Hang on 1 second.
Daniel Darwood.
Oh, hang on 1 second.
It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Go on then, Danny.
Daniel Darwood writes, Dear Neil, Dear Neil's postbag, hope you're well. Very well, Dan, very well. Not a question as such, but I just want to say that Sky Sports' obvious bias, perceived by me, towards Mansfield and fawning over them as if they were playing football to the same standard as Liverpool and Man City has really galvanised me. We need to show them up in the second leg like we did in the second half. Come on, Cobblers, have them.
Can you just read that G word again? I've got a little itch. The G word in there.
A galvanised.
Got to ring the podcast bell when you say galvanised. It's David Flitcroft's favourite word. I can't go on any podcast galvanised without ringing the bell.
What happens if we say fundamentals? And it's that
no, no.
Any jigsaws? Puzzles? No.
And again? No. And again? And again.
And again.
It's just a Keith Carlisle. Keith Carlisle bingo. But yes, that's the
bingo postcard. Here on Wednesday night on Twitter. Come on, yes. Everybody.
Charles, I want to mention as well.
NTFC
Women Development Team won the League Cup.
Oh, congratulations. On penalties. Yes.
Penalties. It's all the trophies are coming our way in the women's game, Charles.
Mate, they're just unbelievably good. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I love every single one of them for being absolutely brilliant at football.
Yes,
it's brilliant. Honestly, it's brilliant. And look out on our social media if you've not seen it already. There is a special message to NTFC Women all involved there from the one, the only, Karen Carney. Go check it out at Cobblers to Me on the Twitter and on the Facebook. You'll see that wonderful message that I got from Karen the other day. And I'll then tell you next week when I'm allowed to about how I met Karen Carney, because I can't do it right now and it's really annoying. I really want to tell you everything, but I can't.
So next week's either going to be the Bayos or...
I've got two names for you, Danny.
Yeah.
Emil Heskey.
Yes.
And Colin Hill.
Get them both in. Colin Hill will do a good job at right back. Emil Heskey can replace Apare. Get him in. Did you sign him up?
I tried.
Charles, as well, before we go, I've got to mention, because this is our last chance to, potentially, unless there's something that happens on Wednesday
that forces us
into a live show. Friday, we're going to be hosting the Wembley 97 reunion.
Of course.
At Sixfields, which could be awkward, but it could be brilliant.
It's going to
it will be brilliant, but it
we're
could be a little bit awkward.
It's going to be amazing.
Yes, but 2 days after the playoff semi-final, we are hosting the Class of 97, a Q&A. Who knows what questions will be asked, Charles?
Who knows?
Is somebody going to have a go at Andy Woodman and Billy Turley, do we think?
Well, it depends whether Woody's going to be there. We don't know who's actually going to make it, yeah? You know, there's quite a few of them definitely coming, but there's also a few of them that might have things like cup finals to attend to that they're not quite sure whether they'll get there or not. But anyway.
Corridors to be named after.
Corridors to be named after. Yes, that is quite right, Danny. Quite right indeed. Go to ntfc.co.uk. All the details are there. Tickets are £5, I believe.
That's worth it just to watch us make tits of ourselves,
absolutely.
To be fair.
Absolutely is, Danny. You are quite right. that's it for this episode of It's All Cobblers for Me. Thanks for listening, as you always have done all the way through the season. If you enjoy the podcast and you want to help us to keep making episodes and you just fancy supporting us, then we'd be really grateful. You can join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to even more podcasts and our community on Slack. To sign up, just go to patreon.com/cobblerstome. It starts from £2 a month. It's not an awful lot. We love you forever. Everybody has an amazing time in the Slack. The community that we've built is second to none. If you want to join it, patreon.com/cobblers2me. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig.
No problem. Thanks, as always, for having me on. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to Wednesday. Enjoy it. I look forward to meeting you, hopefully, on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, I'll come up
boo
and
say you. We'll come and boo you.
Boo in your face.
Whatever happens, Cobblers fans, let's get right behind the team on Wednesday night. Let's hope that the next time you press play on an episode of It's All Cobblers to Me, we're on our way to Wembley.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing.